Understand is going to be the morning. Amen. Day will break at midnight.
Hallelujah.
But the morning is a people. God is depending on a people to rise up out of the rubble and the darkness of this world and to be the light.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then Father God will be satisfied.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. You know, you have the feeling just like a father that looking for his child to come to God, to really move in God. And sometimes you wait so long. Hallelujah. We waited and waited and waited over 30 years to see a move that began in the early days of our kids, when they used to go to the church first and they used to open the church and they used to participate and lead the services and wanted to pray and sing and be everything. Hallelujah. And then when they were hit in the adolescent ages, they had a reversal and went so far back that the only thing that kept our hope was the word of the Lord, which said they would return.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. So you know they will return, but it doesn't matter how far back they go, you have that knowledge, pre-knowledge, which is a predestiny, that they will return.
Thank you, Father.
Then we waited long. You know, 30 years, and over 30 years, they start coming back. Hallelujah. All this time, we have to be kind to them, loving to them, care for them, and hope. Praise be to God. And we have the satisfaction of seeing them coming back to God.
Amen.
And the shocking thing about it is that they seem to have the knowledge that they missed all over these years. Now, don't ask me how, but the little story goes that the widow in Israel, she left Israel because there was a famine. And she went away for 7 years. And when she returned, she went to the king to seek her property again. And the king not only gave her her land, but he gave her all of the fruits that the land produced in the 7 years that she was absent. Glory to God. And this is a promise from God. For our children and for the people who we see depart from God. God said they'll come back and he'll give them the fruits.
Praise God.
As if they did never move away. Hallelujah. Tonight I want to turn your attention with me to that 22nd chapter of Matthew. And we want to talk about the third cause of God. Third cause of God. You have always heard that there are seven trumpets, or seven calls, seven messages that God calls people unto perfection. But we're going to deal with three basic calls that God calls. And this call in the Old Testament, it is called the Feast of the Passover. That's the first call. The second one, the Feast of Pentecost, in which he said all the males must come up to Jerusalem. And the third call is the Feast of Tabernacles. Look in Matthew chapter 22 and you see these three calls. The kingdom of heaven, verse 2, is like unto a certain king, God, which made a marriage for his son, Jesus Christ, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways. I want you to notice that, and if you've got a marker, you mark your Bible. They went their ways. And I say, they were doing their own thing. Praise God. They went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. I wonder if you ever considered if Jesus Christ was on earth today, what they would do to him. First of all the people who believe in a physical rapture would turn against him and call him a false prophet.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I have seen Jesus Christ speak directly to people and they reject him and find some cause against the preacher.
Right.
But the thing that appalls me is that sometimes the people hear a direct word from God. And when they hear the direct word from God, some hypnotize.
Hear the gift of the Spirit working in your midst.
Maybe saw hanging on the wall different gifts of the Spirit. That's what you saw. They're yours.
Amen.
People sitting in here have the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
The greatest thing on earth is that everyone here has some gift of the Spirit. Some might have two, three. Some might have one more powerful. It's a direct.
Mm.
You understand? But you do have gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
And God says the reason why there is a dark shadow over the gifts. Somebody frightening you about gifts? Are you afraid to stretch forth your hand and touch gifts? Are you afraid to make a mistake and prophesy and make a mistake? And boo-boo? And then everybody say he made a boo-boo. He didn't hear God. Let me tell you something, brethren. Many of us who hear God sometimes, in the midst of hearing God, we say something that is out of our own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I sat down today listening to a preacher. He had the pure word of God, and he would speak the pure word of God for 5 minutes, and he would branch off and speak his own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I was so frightened to hear the man, because he turned around and put a curse on somebody in the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes. And he said your car is going to crash and you're going to die because you come against my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And he said you are sitting right here on the platform and he tell how he cursed his father and how his father died and he cursed his sister and how she's now crippled or something like that. And he said, if you know what I know, you get up and get out of this place immediately.
That can't be done on God's platform.
No. We have to have a fear of God.
Yes.
Amen.
But I heard the pure word of God. If I could just cut out all that trash. He came across again and he preached for 5 minutes the pure word of God, and then he branched off to talk about somebody's dress. Oh yes. And he came back and he preached the pure word of God again, and he branched off and he started to talk about abortion. Because that was not the word that he was bringing. But the people of God are going to have the spirit of discernment.
Amen.
It's hanging on the wall.
Amen.
With a black spirit over it.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, be released.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of man.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of what anybody will think. Make your mistakes.
Thank you, Lord.
You hear me?
Thank you, Lord.
Don't be afraid of making mistakes. You're supposed to make mistakes. God has ordained by your mistakes you learn.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And don't believe you're too big to make mistakes.
Amen.
I used to believe one time that everything I said was absolute, like God himself speaking. Did you know that? Do I look like that now?
No.
I'd like to be like that. Hallelujah. But I know that by my experience, when I came out young first, and Jesus talking to me and telling me what to say, I couldn't find out where I slipped off and started to talk my own talk.
Mm-hmm.
I slipped back on. And then my wife said to me, but did Jesus say that one? And it hurt me. How dare she challenge the word from the Lord, you know? But God endowed me with a little sense. And although I was upset for the time being, I think over it. And I see some little places where Cecil came in. See what I mean? So don't be bombast. Don't be bombastic in God's business. See, when you begin to talk in God, talk with fear, knowing that John can make a mistake.
Amen.
Knowing that you can slip. You see, but try and ask God to help you to deliver the pure, unadulterated word as God gave it to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me, just before I move from this point, I don't know why I'm here, so let me take what's coming.
Amen.
Flowing through me. Sometimes you get a word of God, and you give the word of God plus what you think the word of God means. Without knowing it, you give what you think it means rather than what the word
says. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So it is what we call thought about things, rather than giving the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we call mixture, the vessel, the message gets mixed up in the vessel before it comes out. So if you take a clean message and throw it in a dirty vessel, what do you get? Dirty. Oh yeah. Clean water in a dirty vessel gives you dirty water.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we must keep on our knees. You know, sometimes when the Spirit hits me, when we begin to pray, especially, you know what I'm saying inside of me? Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Oh God, forgive me of all my sins.
You know, we're afraid.
Yeah.
You know that? That our frame is feeble, frame, fragile, susceptible to wrong, error. Not that we want to be bad. We don't want to be doing bad things on earth, but we are set to heaven.
Amen.
And heaven is ever present with us.
Yes.
And the nearer you get to Jesus, the less error.
Mm-hmm.
There's a purification.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't even make errors. You know. You don't make errors anymore, because remember, you are sin of omission. You are sin of commission. And you have errors.
Mm-hmm.
That you didn't willfully sin. You are doing your best.
Mm-hmm.
And you made an error.
Mm-hmm.
So may God help us. We go back to this word. The remnant took his servants and it treated them spitefully. Amen. I was saying, if Jesus Christ comes here with a message, the people would turn against him. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I asked a brother once, I said, brother, it was a sister, I said, sister, I am going to fellowship with you and talk with you. You want to talk to me about things pertaining to the Bible, and I will talk with you if you will answer one question correctly. If you don't answer the question correctly, please don't talk to me. I'm not going to discuss any scripture with you. I said, if Jesus came back to earth as a physical, natural man, do you think he would go to your church? Which of all the religions and the churches would Jesus attend? I said, don't answer me right away. You think about it, pray about it, and answer me. Answer me. She took about 15 minutes, came back to me, she said, I've got an answer. And she said, with all my heart, I genuinely think he would be my religion, my church. He would come to my church. I said, you are not honest. I can't talk with you. You see what I'm saying? Any reasonable person start considering Jesus, you would realize that Jesus could not join a denomination. And every denomination would be against him, because every denomination has some truth and some false. I don't know one denomination that does not have some truth and some falsehood.
Amen.
Even Islam that is not Christian, Mohammedan, have some truth and falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when you mix truth with falsehood, what you get? Falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Truth and falsehood equal falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
For praise be to God. He said they spitefully entreated. And if you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot expect to be better treated.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If people say that you are false prophets, you praise God for it. Why, you know you are not false prophet. If you are false prophet, then repent. You understand what I'm saying? But why you know you're not false prophet, amen, you praise God for the opposition of brethren who say you are false prophets. Let me tell you what a false prophet is. And this may shock you a little, because someday you will have false prophets that come to you. And most false prophets, if they are real good false prophets, they don't know they are false prophets. Amen. But a false prophet is a prophet with a false spirit. So if you prophesied something, brother, and it wasn't true, you are not the false prophet. You just had a boo-boo. You just made a mistake. You just yielded to wrong spirit, the wrong thought. But The man who operates in a wrong spirit, that's a false prophet. So even when a false prophet is talking the truth, he's a false prophet still. Because a false prophet will bring the truth to you in order to catch you.
Yes.
If he gives you 9 truths and catch you on 1 lie, you're caught.
Amen.
Don't you understand the principle?
Amen.
The principle is one that Satan uses. He doesn't mind if his false prophets come and give you some truth. Because they couldn't be real, they couldn't look like angels of light if they weren't bringing off some kind of light. Mm-hmm. But they must catch you on only one. That's all they want, to catch you on one lie, and you're caught. So praise be to God. It says here, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his army and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Now you need to understand what this verse means. Every time God says his army, his messenger, you have to realize how the Bible is written and how God talks. Because God called Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who was going to destroy Israel, his messenger, because Nebuchadnezzar was doing the bidding of God. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When Hitler went against the Jews and destroyed and murdered 6 million Jews, the Bible spoke about Hitler. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Bible said, I will send charmers to charm you. And if you won't be charmed, I'm going to send hunters to hunt you.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
That's fitting.
Yes. God allowed it to happen.
Yes.
And that caused the Jews to form a homeland in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It was God's will that the Jews should form the homeland.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jews weren't about to form the homeland because they were prospering in Germany, and it was their home. They were prospering in Russia, they were prospering everywhere, and they settled down. They had no interest in forming a home. And the charmers couldn't charm them, because they were men who were offering each Jewish family so many thousands of dollars to go back to Israel. And they didn't go. But when the hunters started hunting them, they went by night, they went by day, they went by sea, they went by land, they went through hardship, they went through fire, they went through water, but they went back to fulfill the word of God.
Yes.
And so, if you will understand this verse, don't you believe that you're going to see an army of Christians coming, Trump, burning up cities? No, sir. God has allowed the enemy to work destruction upon the cities of the world that only God himself can repair. Miami, they call it the drug capital of the world. The government is seizing tons of marijuana, tons of heroin and all different kinds of drugs daily, weekly, monthly. But you know something? They are capturing 20%. If that is 20%, then God help this country.
Amen. Amen.
They're only getting about 20% of all the drugs that are coming in. So you must realize what's happening and the threat that this thing is to our young people
and to the very lives of our little babies.
Yes.
Yes. I understand that at some schools, men go there and give the kids sweets that are laced, spiked with different things and get them hooked on different kinds of drugs. You little babies! This is the plan that the devil has for them.
Yes.
This is the plan the devil has for them. Hallelujah. So when you hear about the cities being burned up, don't believe that you must see the end of the burning up right now. The burning has begun. What God showed me in vision is the end of it all. When cities like New York will be completely incinerated and in horrible condition, when people have to be running for their lives and killing one another to get away out of these cities. As I told you the other night, I was shocked to see two pamphlets come to my home from the government. Mark emergency. What? Some guide to emergency. Emergency in big letters. A blue pamphlet. And I don't know why they thought that I should get two, but I got two from the same government agency. And it says, in case of an atomic attack, what you are to do. All the instructions that you must do. I went out on the street, and the streets are marked escape route. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
The streets are marked for escape routes. I'm talking about Florida. They had a meeting down in West Palm Beach, and they selected a committee to select the people who must escape, whom they, the government, is responsible to take them out.
Mm-hmm.
Certain age groups, certain representative of each of the population, to preserve the life of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what American government is doing. 15 years ago when I came here and told them that God said that this place will be destroyed and people must begin to turn to God for instructions, people laughed at me. Church people said, say I'm a false prophet. But now it is on the television, and it is in the paper, and it is, at last we get a pamphlet telling us what to do in case of nuclear attack. I'm saying this, brethren, because you must know that the cities are under judgment. The cities are under judgment. The cities are going to be burned up one day. And the distress and the destruction is beyond anything that we can imagine. God wants a people to be prepared who will not be running like chickens without heads, but that they will be prepared and hear from God.
Amen.
The only thing that's going to save you and your family is to hear from God.
Amen.
Yes, that's right.
And the only people who God can save are those who will hear from God.
Amen.
Because you may be running and running in the wrong direction. And God might want you not to run at all.
Yes.
Amen. Well, you see, are we going to wait until it gets that late before we start praying? We, the people of God, who should know what's going on in the heavenly, to feel the vibrations of God, what God is saying to the church at this time.
Yes.
And we should be able to go with fear and build an ark.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? We should go with fear in God and build an ark. And you know what the ark is now? It's the body of Christ. Yes. The type of the ark of the covenant which saved Israel.
is the body of Christ which God is preparing to save the world. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to save the world, you can't be frightened and afraid.
Right.
You're going to have to know God and believe God. God's not asking you to be super righteous. God's not asking you to be going around and say, I am first fruits company, I'm holier than everybody. God is only asking you to believe Him.
Amen.
Isn't that simple?
Amen.
Just believe God and believe the Word of God. There are a lot of words coming from the Bible which is not the Word of God. No. Can you understand that? You ask a person, isn't the Bible the Word of God? Yes, the Bible is the Word of God. But if somebody takes the Word and gives you a message from it, he can turn that thing any way. He can quote Scripture like the devil himself. And when the devil quotes Scripture, it's not the Word of God.
That's right.
Amen.
Don't you understand?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You remember the ridiculous little story about the boy in Sunday school who said, the teacher asked him, give me a verse of Scripture when your name is called. He said, Jesus wept.
She said, oh no,
that Scripture is too short. Give me something better than that. He said, and Judas went out and hanged himself. She said, that is not going to bless anybody. I want a Scripture that will bless us. He said, go thou and do likewise. He gave three Scriptures. All Scriptures, entirely out of context.
Right. Right.
And delivering a message that God never said.
Yes.
You see what I'm talking about? It's a ridiculous little story, but that is the most apt one that explains to you how some of us preachers are using the Word of God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Oh yes. Brother, I want to speak to people about giving money. And he takes the Scripture and he just take it and use it any old way. I said, the Lord said you must give me so and so and so. Because he reads the Scripture. So we've got to be careful of the people who quote Bible to us. We must have a spirit of discernment to discern what spirit is talking to us.
Thank you, Father.
When Satan went to Eve, he said, did not God say?
Mm-hmm.
He said, did not God say? And Eve was naive. She was fresh and young. Hallelujah. Never knew of anything named sin. Never knew that there was a devil. Amen. And so she fell. Hallelujah. But praise be to God, we are on the other side.
Amen.
We know there is a devil. Amen. And we know what he's saying. Let's go back on the Scripture then. He sent his armies and he burnt up the cities. The cities are under judgment. And I'm not saying to anybody who here this tape or who are here sitting here that you must go and move your family out of the city. I am not saying go move your family out of the city. That is the job of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. If you don't know the Holy Ghost, get to know Him as fast as you can.
Yes.
Because He will tell you what to do.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
You know, when Mary got the message from God that Jesus Christ was to make wine, she went to Him and she said, these men have no wine. He said, what have I to do with thee? He didn't get the word yet. Hallelujah. She turned around and told the man, if he tells you whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. She didn't go and say, okay, you get some water pots now.
Right.
She did not. She knew exactly what was going to be done because she went to the man with the water pot. Or the wine pot. And she said, look, whatever he tells you to do, do it. The responsibility to give the order to God's people is the Holy Ghost blood himself.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't take it from any man.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Glory to God. If somebody come and tell you run, say thank you, Jesus. What do you say?
And you don't run because somebody tell you run. You see, this is the problem. People want leader.
You know, when I came in here tonight, I definitely felt the Spirit that you are not yet free from the desire to have a pastor reigning over you.
Delicious Lord.
I felt that Spirit in here. You want every little man you catch a hold on, you make a pastor out of him. And God is saying you must learn to realize that Jesus Christ is in this place with you. And that
Amen.
He is your shepherd.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Do you understand? Jesus is your shepherd. And Jesus must lead you. If brother so-and-so is not here, or sister so-and-so is not here, praise the Lord. Jesus is here.
Amen. Amen.
We sit down together and say, what does Jesus want us to do with you?
Yes.
And somebody's going to make a mistake. I'm sure of it. Somebody's going to get up and do something that Jesus didn't want him to do. But praise be to God, you don't get up with a hatchet and start to chop him down.
Amen.
You just leave him alone and let Jesus talk to him.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you'll get back things on course. I've never seen a meeting where somebody didn't make that kind of a mistake.
Amen.
But if this is the way we learn, let's go back to the word. Then said he to his servant, verse 8, servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Jesus spoke these words to me when he called me and sent me out and said, go, take 1,000 pounds of food to the household for the wedding feast. I was green Christian, wedding feast. I thought wedding feast is up in heaven. No. Wedding feast, that was one of the strangest things God said to me. Go out there and take food for the wedding feast. What wedding feast? And years after, I begin to ask him about what kind of thing you said about wedding feast. He showed me verse 11. But we are at 8, so let me go down to 9. Go ye therefore into the highway, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. The word bad here does not mean wicked. It means crippled. Those who had some impairment in their limbs, both the sick and the well. That's what it meant. And so God is saying to us, this is the third call. Did you hear what it said? It says, go out, bring in both bad and good, that my house may be furnished. Now, verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him, refers to the ecclesia, or ecclesia. Many are ecclesia, but few are eclectus. Many are called, but few are chosen. In other words, those who are chosen are few in comparison to those who are called. Mm-hmm. No, brethren, let's get back to this understanding of what Jesus is saying to us. There is a call. This call is the call to the grace in gathering. Some parts of the scriptures describe this in gathering as the harvest. In the Jewish understanding, the harvest in gathering was just before the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles in the spiritual sense is in Revelation chapter 21, where the scripture says, "And God has, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." And in a better translation, I would say, "Behold, God has tabernacled himself within men." You see, because in the tabernacle there were booths, not houses, booths made out of leaves. And God, his tabernacle in it himself, in clay, earthen vessels. You see, so the tabernacle of God is within man.
Amen.
Now, if you understand what we are seeing here, we're going to see it much more clearly before we leave here tonight, is that God is sending his servants out not to seek the rich, not to seek people of a special class, not to have a high church, but to find those who are called and made. Many are being maimed by the world. Some are being maimed by the doctrines of the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A friend of mine I was just with over in Dallas began to tell me a story. He said he belongs to a full gospel businessman, and he has a dear friend who is one of the officers of the full gospel businessman. And this brother said to him, "Brother," he said, I love your spirit. I love the way you love God. But I just cannot understand one thing about you. How could a man like you not believe in the rapture? How could you not believe in the rapture?" The brother said, "Well, brother, I am not a preacher. I don't have the eloquence, the words to convince you about the rapture. But I know that you believe the word of God. And you believe the word of God above all things else." He said, "If you will just let us sit here for 5 minutes, I will read a scripture to you, and if that scripture says there's no rapture, then you have to believe. Because the scripture is Jesus Christ himself explaining the situation." And turn with me. He turned to Matthew chapter 13. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. And he began to read from the 38th verse. Jesus Christ was describing the parable, explaining the parable to the brethren. He said, "The field is what?
The
world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus sat down and spoke a sequence. What would happen next? What would happen next? What would happen next? He never said one word about the rapture. Praise be to God. The brother was completely touched by this scripture. And we pray to God that he will continue to seek truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Our God said, anyone that seek him will find.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So we go back to this Matthew 22. And he said, go on the highway and gather them that have. You know, Corrie ten Boom, most of you know who she was, and a mighty warrior of God. And she went to China and met one of the old Chinese Christian leaders. And with tears in his eyes, he said, Corrie, you're going to the West. Please tell them to prepare for tribulation and not to believe the doctrine of the rapture. In China, believe the doctrine of the rapture. And he said, we got tribulation and we were not prepared for tribulation. I remember a dear friend of mine was a co-worker of Watchman Nee. A friend of Watchman Nee and a co-worker. A man who worked with Watchman Nee for most of the time, and his family and Watchman Nee were one. And they, when they heard the communists were coming into their area, and they heard all the terrible things that the communists had done to the church, how some of the elders were crucified with their heads upside down, and the horror stories that nobody, I don't see anybody writing about, but probably sometime somebody will write of the horror of what the Chinese did to the Christians. And when they heard and they knew all of it, they converted most of their money and goods into gold, because they were preparing to flee. But they could not get Watchman Nee to budge. Finally, they got a spot on a plane, the last plane that was leaving there. And they finally got Watchman Nee onto the plane. And the plane began to taxi down the runway, and here come the communists in jeeps and open up machine gun fire on them. And the plane was able to take off, and they were able to land safely in Hong Kong. So they were in Hong Kong. They had sent on his nephew on to San Francisco to set up a church there, and sent some of the money and things to get things arranged for him to come and live in the United States and work from here. And they said he went on and went on and went on, and every day he would go looking over the border into China. And he kept on looking there until one day he just tell them, take everything. And they begged him, they pleaded with him, they wept. No. And he just took his wife and they walked right in and give up themselves to the coming. He was arrested that day and became a slave of the communists. And he never came out of prison until he died. What, 82, somewhere there, he died. He believed that somehow God was going to lift them out. He could not bring himself to the fact that God is preparing a people for a tribulation, that no people has ever been prepared like this for the tribulation. Do you understand me? Every tribulation we know of Christians, it has ended with the Christian being trampled and killed and murdered and sent to prison. This one is going to end with a victorious army of God's people taking us over our darkness, over our world.
To hear you.
That will be the end of it. The beginning of it is going to be dread. Many will die, many will suffer, but out of it will come a strong people of God who will be like Samson.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Who will lift the gates of Gaza off and put hell to flight.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. God is creating a Gideon 300. Small, insignificant force that nobody could believe would be able to stand against such a mighty enemy. Yet, by the grace of God, we will take the world from sin.
Praise God.
And Jesus Christ will come. You hear me? Let me explain it to you. Jesus Christ will come in us first. Just like Jesus came in me in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and in you in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we have not got the fullness. We will receive the fullness at midnight.
Praise
when it's such a night, such a darkness, such a horror on earth that it could not be worse.
Yes.
Then we will receive the daylight. The morning is breaking.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can feel within yourself the energy of God begin to come forth. No longer will this people be beaten and destroyed. God is creating an army. Read all about it. Read all about it in the Bible. Hallelujah. Read about the army of God. Read about Joel's army.
Yes.
Read about what God says about his people. Because God said we will be beaten until the Ancient of Days come. You understand? Oh yeah, he said the little horn, he will persecute the saints. And he will destroy the saints. And he will kill the saints until the Ancient of Days come. And then power will be given to the children of God, and the saints will possess the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is the gospel we preach. And after we possess the kingdom, Jesus Christ, Mary's son, the son of God, our bride, will come.
Yes.
But Jesus will not come until that fullness comes in you. The blood of Jesus Christ that you have received will accomplish that to which God has sent you. Somebody doubt? Let me read a scripture for you. It's not just Seth saying this, it's God. The Romans chapter 8, somebody get verse 29 and read with a loud voice.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many
brethren. Many brethren.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the firstborn of God among many brethren. This must happen to us while we are alive, while we are human beings. Is that?
Amen.
We don't have to die to get perfected. God says that he's going to do it to us down here. This is the third call. And God is calling the halt and the maimed. Brethren, I want to suggest something to you. As part of the body of Christ, I want you to know that you must be living part. Don't be dead part. If you are a living part, you must be a transporter of life. That is, people are dying all around you. You must make some effort. Say, Jesus Christ, help me to bring some life to that poor one here that is sucking on a cigarette. Help me, Lord Jesus Christ, to bring some life. Don't feel yourself sufficient as you're going now with all the scripture well written down and you're going to slam him with scripture. That doesn't save souls. It is the Spirit of God that saves souls.
Yes.
And what is in your heart and in your mind will be transferred upon people. Did you know that?
Amen.
You have an earnest desire to save this person's soul, and the person comes and starts breathing on you. Say, praise God. That's the contact.
Oh, yes.
Yes. You may have to do a little sacrifice to save the soul. But believe you me that God has ordained for you to suffer that person be saved. Amen. When you're out saving souls or bringing people into the kingdom, you don't have any right.
That's right.
Well, you can't stand up on your rights. I was right, and he came and did it. You're not right. You have no right.
Amen.
Amen. Your right is to let him beat on you.
Yes.
So that you might save your soul.
Amen.
Some people will never be saved unless they beat on some Christian.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Beat on him. Beat on you. Probably you weren't praying enough for the person. Call to your attention that this is a bad man. Amen. Then you start praying for him. Praying for her. God is saved. Now hear me this. God is saying that if now is the time, if you believe that we have just a few years left, if you believe that there are not many, many years left, if you believe then that this is the end of the world, if you really believe, then you must get some halt and maim. Because that is where the kingdom of God is going to be filled with. Yes. I noticed Dave Wilkerson has chucked all the high class things he was doing and gone back out on the street. He's hearing something.
Amen.
I believe he's hearing something. I believe, brethren, we must begin to seek around to help people. Amen. There are some suffering old people around. If you even to go take them to the store once a week, if you even to go minister to them in some way, you get a chance to tell them about Jesus. God Almighty is saying the halt and maim is all around us. There are kids on the street on drugs all over. We cannot be complacent to what's happening around us.
Amen.
Because the last call is going for us.
Amen.
And if you're one of those servants who God is sending, then you should hear. You see, the point about the church people is that they feel that they have to have a gift or something like that to go out. But we are part of a living body. The body has the gift. We don't have to worry about that. We are part of a living body, and the living Christ is in you. You should minister as Christ minister. And don't worry, ask anybody what my calling is. What is my gift? What is that? God will bring that out. Amen. God will bring that out. All you have to do is begin to think about the dying around you. those who are going to be incinerated. And you want God to begin to stretch out his hand to save them. Hallelujah. The called and the named. Verse 11 says that there was a man in the wedding feast who did not have on a wedding garment. Now, how could God rapture a man by mistake? Now remember, we are taught by the people out there that the wedding feast is after the rapture, when we get up into heaven and with God, and we'll have a wedding feast with him for 7 years while the earth is destroyed. Amen? It cannot be right, because verse 11 would have to be cut out of the Bible and thrown away. Verse 11 says that God saw a man in the wedding feast who did not have on a garment. And that man was cast into outer darkness. Who is that man? Who is that man? That man is a foolish virgin. Virgin. But he just didn't have on a wedding garment. You see, the point is that in this Jewish wedding, to get a garment, you had to come through the door. Or when you got to the door, there was a servant there to take you into a little chamber, get your feet washed, and then put on a robe on. So all the guests would look alike. So you see then, if a man came in there without a wedding garment, where did he come from? That's why the king asked, how did you come in here? He came through with you. Came into a bath. Maybe through the air conditioning. But he didn't come through the door. But the story that God is trying to show us here is that the wedding feast is on earth. The wedding feast is now. You see how a false doctrine can make people miss God entirely. You miss truth, you miss God, and you become a loser just because of a doctrine that you learned at church. So you see what's happening, how dangerous some of the churches are. It's an organization that's not listening to God. They are listening to doctrines which are so many hundred years old. God is asking you to listen to God. Amen. God has ordained a ministry in the earth, and more people are listening to the false ministries than are listening to the ministries that God has ordained. You cannot go to college and get ordained to a ministry. It's not possible. God has got to ordain you to that ministry. And when God has ordained you, you are well ordained. It doesn't matter if the world doesn't accept your ordination. But God has a fivefold ministry. Let me tell you a secret about it. The people of the church are divided into five groups under the fivefold ministry. Not of this church, friend, but of the church, God's church. And some are supporters of the apostolic ministry. They support by prayer, they support by their strength, they support by their I don't like the word offering, I don't like the word gift. Give me a better word. Their finances, their substance. I used to be in law one time,
And one of the peculiar things that I noticed about the law is that we had a man up for murder. This man never murdered anybody. He was not there where the murder was committed. Yet, he was up for murder and found guilty of murder, and the law was right. Come on now. Who could say, who could tell me what happened? He was guilty of murder after the fact. Somebody went and murdered somebody. He hid the man. He aided and abetted the man after he had finished the murder, and he became guilty of the murder. By law. But you know something about the law? It's the same with God's law. The Bible said, if you give to a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. Yes. And I fear to think of some of the men that we support with our money. Oh yes. Some of us blight our prosperity entirely by what we do with our money. Oh yes. Amen. Some Christians still read Playboy magazine. Some Christians still read Playboy.
Sure.
Some Christians subscribe to all kinds of things. They are destroying their prosperity, and God will put a curse upon that money because of the things you do with it. Somebody come and said, God said, I must build the biggest auditorium in the world, and I want all of you to send me your offering. And people just begin to flood offerings in. And God didn't say so.
Amen.
What do you think God is saying to you? Why didn't you ask me before? Oh, yes. God has ordained a body of people to support his ministry. And they're taking that support and doing all manner of things with it.
Amen.
I have a dear friend. I'll just tell you the story and then go on to the conclusion. I have a dear friend who was really upset with his church. And he was probably right, the church, what they did. And so he decided he's not giving them any more of his tithes. So he began to put the tithes up in a little account. And the tithes grew and grew and grew and grew and grew, until a little devil came to him one day and said, well, I let out the secret to that. It was the devil that said to him, I said, you know, aren't you a child of God? Aren't you working for God? Yes, I'm working for God. Why don't you take your tithes and buy a car so that you will use the car for God? I can give my tithes to my ministry. You can't.
Right.
I have to give mine to India or somewhere else. You can't. I can give my tithes to my ministry. So he went down the street and bought a brand new Chevrolet. And he was so proud of the thing that he bought cash. In those days, Chevrolet didn't cost so much. Hallelujah. So he bought the Chevrolet cash and he was very proud of it. He jumped in the car and he was going to drive it now to the insurance company. And so he reached the first stop light and just stopped praising God for his lovely car. What do you think happened? A woman came across the line.
Thank you, brother.
And smashed head off back into him. Totally.
total this time.
And he heard God.
He heard God. You see, there are a lot of things we are doing that are destroying our prosperity, and we don't know. Amen. God is speaking to a people. He said, there is a last call going forth. Come ye to the wedding. Many people are not hearing. Don't waste too much time with the people who are already indoctrinated. Go and find people who want to hear the word of God. And those people will be excited for the deliverance. You look at a drug addict who is trying everything to get deliverance and cannot get deliverance. But Jesus Christ, give me that one. In the name of Jesus, be healed, so that he might be part of the body of Christ. There's no way, hallelujah, there's no way that God won't just touch him right like that and heal. We have seen it done. And it's not cold turkey. It's no turkey at all, as a matter of fact.
Amen. Amen.
The guy does never have another feeling for drugs. Just clean
praise
up.
God.
God just clean him up. One touch from the Almighty God.
Praise God.
If this is what you believe, so shall it be. If you believe that he's going to have to go and, you know, cold turkey and probably suffer and back and forth, then so it will be. You have to believe God. The Spirit of God is now doing miracles to bring people into the kingdom.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
You understand? You can get a miracle anytime, especially when it is to bring somebody into the kingdom. I give you a story. I was in Dallas many years ago, and a sister came to me and said, Brother Sis, there's a horrible situation, the thing that just happened down the road. A man took a gun and shot a young man in his head, and the bullet has lodged in his brain. The doctor can't touch it, and he is in a coma and in the hospital. And she said she's so hurt about the thing that I'd like you to go to the hospital and pray. I went to the hospital, and the nurses looked at me as if I was crazy. You want to pray for a dead man? Okay, so go ahead. You know. When I went into the intensive care, his face, they had him on a thing, it wasn't a bed. It was like some straps across. And his face was turned down, and they had him there just waiting for him to die. So I went to him and I said, son, I know you can hear me, but you cannot answer. So don't worry to answer. I said, God has sent me to tell you that he has been dealing with you for a long time. He called you, you rejected, you did everything, and now you are at the end of your life. Said you can live, and I'll give you life if you will promise God right now that you will serve him for the rest of your life. And I prayed with him. I said, you repeat after me, sinner's prayer. And I prayed with him, and I know he's hearing, and I know he's repeating. And I said, all right, God bless you, goodbye. And he said, thank you. He said, thank you. And he walked out of that hospital.
Thank you.
With the bullet in his head.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
But I made a deal. If you will accept Jesus Christ, you will live.
Yes.
God honor the deal by done this.
Yes.
See what I mean? So you have to believe God. Believe God. There's a call going out, and God is saying to you here tonight, it's a call to the wedding feast, not a call to church. It's a call to the wedding feast. And that he is calling the halt and the maimed. No matter what condition they are in, God is at this time calling them by his spirit to come out. If you will believe God, you will be delivered from drugs immediately. Amen. That's amen. If you will believe God, God will raise you up right now. If you will promise him with all your heart that you will serve. If the person doesn't promise God with all his heart and want to cheat God, nothing happens. Amen. Praise God. And so this is the same call that is taking us through the holiest of all, through the veil, into the holiest of all. And I want you to begin to deal with God on this basis. Begin to say to God, God, you are calling for the last call. What can I do? I am willing, Lord. Use me. Just use me, Lord. I am willing. Praise be to God. God bless you very much.